Hey everyone, this is Tommy Smards, and I'm so glad you're joining with us today. If you're part of the South Towns family or new, we would love to connect with you on our many social media platforms or our website. If you're in the neighborhood, stop by. We invite you to worship with us live. I hope today's message will encourage you and inspire you to draw closer to Jesus. Let's get to the message. I think for me, what I love about our worship and our teams, that you see it changing weekly, is the purity. It's not a show. It's let me help you get into the presence. That's what I love about our team. They just want to get you in the presence of God. Because you know that in the presence of God, everything changes. You can put the house lights on. Everything changes in the presence of God, right?
Amen.
Amen. Everything changes there. And so how many people know that 2020 has been kind of a dumpster fire? Right? Has it not been? It's been a dumpster fire, right? We actually have an ornament on our tree. It's a dumpster and it's burning. It says 2020. It's a dumpster fire, right? It's been a valley. If we're honest, I'm not going to ask you if you feel like you've been in a valley, because some of you will tell me no, and that means you're going to lie to me in the church, you know? But it feels like a valley. But I want to share a word with you today that's going to bring hope. That's going to change our outlook on 2020. That it's going to say, okay, it looks like it's this way, but the reality is it's not. Because I'm not looking through the lens and the eyes of my own perspective, but I'm looking at what God is going to do, what God has been doing, and what God will continue to do in my life. See, we have to look at a valley as a place of opportunity and not a place where we're going to go off and die. Okay, can you all be on that same page with me today? That the valley is not a place where I'm going to struggle all the time. It's not a place where it's going to all end and come to the whatever it may be. No, a valley can be a place of opportunity. A valley could be a place of promotion. A valley could be a place of strengthening. A valley could be a place where God's going to instill more gifts and talents in you that you'll begin to use those to impact those around you. A valley is looking at a glass and saying, the glass is half full, it's not half empty. Y'all with me? Okay, so that's what I want to share with you today. When you look in the Bible, first of all, thanks for being here. I don't know if I even welcomed you and said thanks for being here today. Thank you for being here. My phone was blowing up Thanksgiving morning. I actually thought it was my brother-in-law saying, we are going to run that four-mile run, meet me at Delaware Park. But thank God it wasn't him. And it was people saying, did you see what happened last night? Did you see what happened last night? The Supreme Court voted in favor of the church, right? And so I laid there, and Phil and I were talking this morning, and I'm like, well, thank you, Jesus. I don't have to plan service 7 and 8 to try to get more people to come to church instead of 25 at a time. We just come to church like we've been coming the past few months, both services all together as one big happy family. And I was so excited that you're here today with, you know, being a part of this. And so thank you for being here, and thank you for watching online for those who weren't able to be here today. But in the Bible, there are actually 7 biblical references to valleys. Each valley has a title. Each valley has a meaning. I'm going to talk about one that is a physical place, but I'm going to talk to one that's a spiritual place that was given to Ezekiel as a prophetic vision. The first valley that is mentioned in the Bible is the Valley of Siddim, which is also known as the Valley of Sin. It's where Sodom and Gomorrah was. It's where a multitude of battle took place. Kings were killed. But what I love about God is, whether if sin has control of us and sin is running rampant in our life, if we come to Jesus, God will take care of the sin and bring restoration where it's needed, right? It's not just destruction, but he'll give us a chance to grow and come out of that, okay? So there's that valley. There's also the valley of Eshcol, which is the valley of decision. This is where it's on the edge of the promised land. This is where God's people had to make a choice that day. They had to choose to go into the promised land, or they had to choose to continue to wander. We all have decisions in life to make, don't we? I mean, I had to decide what I was going to wear last night in iron. That's a heavy decision. Black shoes, brown shoes, blue shoes. What socks? We all have decisions. Now, those are easy ones. But what about, do I decide to change jobs? Do I decide to do this? Well, let me tell you something. When we're in the midst of a valley of decision, just like God was with his people, God is with us. We just have to surrender to the voice of God as he's leading and directing us on what road to take in this decision-making time. Valley 3, the Valley of Kidron, the valley also known as the Valley of Suffering or the Valley of Jehoshaphat, located outside the eastern wall of the city of Jerusalem, between Jerusalem and the Mount of Olives. This is the Valley of Suffering. This is when we're going through life struggling. We're going through life with heartache. We're going through life with pain. We're going through life with uncertainty. Y'all been there before? Let me tell you something, though. If you're in that valley right now, the greatest thing about being in that valley is that you're not alone. God is with you. God will help you. God will overcome in your life as we surrender in that valley. The next valley is the Valley of Elah. This is the one we'll talk a little bit about today. This valley is the valley where David slew Goliath the giant. How many of y'all got giants in your face right now? Breathing with bad breath all over you, taunting you. Taunting you from afar, roaring in your face, trying to instill fear, trying to instill worry and anxiety. Well, it's in this valley, also known as the Valley of Battle, when God is on our side, we'll walk victorious at the outcome. We need to understand that. That's the Valley of Elah. The Valley of Gehenna. It's the Valley of Death. It's the valley where outside of the walls of Jerusalem, there was garbage burning. There was a constant fire, and there was a smell that was putrid. And even Jesus talks about hell being a place that smells like Gehenna. So even though we're around and we see all this death and this the valley like that around us, understand that although we see it, we don't have to be burned in its flames because of who Jesus is in our lives. The next valley. I'm going through these quick because I want to focus in on two valleys. The Valley of Achor. This is the valley, also known as the Valley of Punishment. See, what happened was the Lord says, when you plunder Jericho, don't take anything for yourself. What happened was Achan took something for himself. They go off to the Battle of Ai, and they're defeated. And God says, what happened was you disobeyed me, and this was the outcome of the disobedience. But I've come to tell you that, you know, when God's at our side, God will discipline us when we step off track or we get off course. And how many of you know, we don't like to be disciplined, right? But there's good things in discipline. There's great things in discipline because it changes who we were into who God wants us to be. Right? And, oh, can I tell you something? Discipline is no fun, right? And usually when you're disciplined, you get that other voice from whoever's disciplining you. You know, my parents, everything was Tommy, Tommy, Tommy. Then it was like, Thomas. Like, whoa, now they're getting serious. We're going to have a discussion that I probably am not going to like right now. But it was about discipline, and discipline's good. It's good. The Valley of Jezreel. It's the Valley of Triumph. This is about end times. This is about Armageddon. This is about Jesus coming, riding triumphantly. And when we stand with Jesus, we live eternally. We live eternally. We have victory. Read the end of the book. Read the end of the book. Read it. Victory. Now, those are seven natural valleys. The valley also that I want to mention is in the book of Ezekiel. It was a valley that the Lord took Ezekiel to prophetically through a vision. And in that valley, there was death, dry bones, no skin, no muscles, no tendons, no blood, no nothing, just dried out, brittle bones. But when God's with us in that type of valley, if we do what Ezekiel did, we stand in faith on what the word says, dead things can come back to life. Dead things in our life, things that look so bleached out and broken and dried out, can become prosperous. So today, we're not going to leave here saying, oh, I'm in the valley, it's over, God. No, we're going to say, I'm in the valley, but it's a valley of opportunity. God, you're going to do a work in me, through me, around me, because of who you are in my life. You are the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. You, at last time I checked, you still sit on the throne. No one has dethroned you. No one will ever dethrone you. So therefore, the valley is my opportunity to grow, to be who you want me to be in a greater dimension than I already am, God. We're not going to run from the... We're all going to be in the valley. We're all going to have valley times. Can I tell you something? I am in the valley. I am in a valley. My life is sideways at times. Bishop Tom is doing well. He's walking. He's using a walker. Y'all know he had a stroke. But you know what? The valley is, I can't visit him. Why? Because the hospital says no visits. So he sits there all alone. And he calls us on the phone 110 times a day. Praise Jesus. But whoa. It's a virtue. And I embrace it. I embrace it. But he's doing well. So we have a valley going on. We have friends who have been sick with COVID. We have all this stuff going on around us. Honestly, we're all in a valley. But we can't let the valley ruin us. We can't let the valley control us. We can't let the valley suck everything out of us, every breath that we have, all our strength. We have to thrive in the valley. The valley says the glass is half full, not half empty. Amen? That's our outlook today. And so real quick, let me read to you about the Valley of Elah. This is where David slew Goliath, the giant. When I was in Israel, just so you all know, I stood in this valley, and it's not that big. It really isn't. It looks like rolling hills. If you go down to Ellicottville, and you drive through like Great Valley and stuff like that, those valleys and mountains are taller than where I stood in the Valley of Elah. Yeah, it's rolling hills. It's beautiful, green, you know, but years and years ago, the ugly giant was whipping up on the army of God, and he needed to have someone take care of business for him. And so David shows up. David shows up that day, and I love this because David goes to see his brothers to see what's going on, and he gets word that Goliath is killing people, and he's taunting them every day. Death all around, fear set in the camp. Goliath would come out. God's army would run and hide in fear because they didn't want to be killed by a spear or their head lopped off by a sword. This is what would happen back in battle days then. Just, you know, it's how it works. And then David shows up, and he hears all the murmuring and all that's going on, and he starts asking questions, and he's like, all things like, I got, King, I'm your man. 15 pounds, 15 years old, 98 pounds soaking wet. I'm your man to kill the giant. Think about that. Think about that. We'll give him 99 pounds if it was a rainstorm. Because his satchel that he had his stones and slinging got wet, so it was an extra pound added. He's like, I'll kill him. I will kill him for you. King wants to give him his own armor. He's like, no way. He's like, how can I use your armor? It doesn't even fit me. I don't even know how to use your armor. I have some gifts and talents that God gave me. I don't want your gift and your talent. Let me handle it my way, God. Let Saul, because God's on my side. And so now he's on the battlefield, and he's like, I'm going to get him. And here it is. Here's where the story picks up, the account of Goliath. And it says this. It says that Goliath walked out towards David with his shield bare ahead of him, sneering in contempt at this ruddy-faced boy. And Goliath says, am I a dog? He roared at David. That's what the enemy does, by the way. The enemy roars at you to scare you. The enemy wants to get in your face and roar as loud. How many people know that when you're at the zoo and the lion roars, everyone hears it. You're like, whoa, what is that, right? Well, the enemy's just like that because if the enemy can roar loud enough, he'll scare you to run away. So Goliath is using a scare tactic. He's using an intimidation tactic. He's being loud and boisterous, and he's yelling at David, am I a dog that this boy comes out? And he's actually, baiting him, and he's causing a scene on the battlefield. It even says that other soldiers had run away when Goliath comes out. Here's David walking at him, not running away. He's like, oh, there he is. He's mine. That was his attitude. That was his mindset. Because he knew who he was. He knew who his God was. When we know who we are, when we know who our God is, when we know who the Holy Spirit in us and how the Holy Spirit moves through us, we don't run away. We stand firm, or we embrace the battle. Right? This is what David does. And so Goliath is barking at him. He's cursing at David, it says. And he says, Goliath says, I will give your flesh to the birds and the wild animals. Now, that would kind of freak some people out, wouldn't it? Like, I'm going to not only kill you, but I'm going to cut you up. I'm going to feed you to all the animals around us. Why? Because I can. I'm Goliath. Look around you. I've already killed how many thousands of people. Look how they run in fear from me. I'm the giant in your face. Little David, though, he's like, yeah, whatever. He replies, you come at me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of heaven's armies, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you defiled. He goes and says, today the Lord will conquer you. I love that. He didn't say, I will conquer you. It's not about David. It's not about me. I learned this. It's not about me. It's about God. My life isn't really always about me. It's about God. It's about God in me. He's like, listen, you defiled God. You defiled him, and today the Lord's going to conquer you, and he's going to use me because it says, I'm going to kill you, Goliath, and I'm going to cut your head off, and then I'm going to give the dead bones of your body to the birds and to the wild animals, and that the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. Oh, I love that. Right there in that grassy field that was probably full of dead bodies and bones, people afraid and nervous, saying to each other, like we are in 2020, man, it's a dumpster fire out there. Holy cow, I hope the sergeant doesn't ask me to go out today. I don't want to go out to the field. And here's David's like, get out of the way. Let me in here. Oh, there you are. There you are. They're all running from you? Please, let me take care of this. Actually, Goliath, I'm going to kill you. And we're going to take over the valley. We're going to rule the valley. We're going to control in the valley. We're going to be who God called us to be in the valley. Because it's the God of the valley, right? God rules and reigns in the valley. Even though it may not look good, God still rules and reigns in the valley. And so we see that. Let me real quick read with you about the Valley of Dry Bones. And I'm going to put all this together and help you leave here today being able to function in the valley and grow in the valley and be blessed in the valley. See, in the Valley of Dry Bones, in Ezekiel, it says, the Lord took Ezekiel and carried him by the Spirit to a valley filled with bones. And he led him around all the bones that the whole floor was covered. And they were scattered everywhere. And the Lord said to him, son of man, can these bones become living again? That's a great question that he asked Ezekiel. And I love Ezekiel's answer. He says, oh, sovereign Lord, only you alone know. See, we walk in the valley where it looks like everything's dead. There's no life. There's no prosperity. There's no goodness. There's no joy. There's no peace. There's no nothing. And maybe God's asking you the same question. Can it get better? I'm not going to be like Ezekiel. I'm not going to say only God knows. I'm going to tell you what I know what the Word says. And according to what the Word says, that in Christ Jesus, we have victory. Amen. So it will and should get better. How quick? I have no idea. I have no clue. But ask God. Maybe He'll reveal to you how long the valley journey is. Do you ever notice a valley never... At some point, the valley ends in the natural, right? If you go down into the Southern Tier and you're driving through the valleys, eventually the valleys end, don't they? You're no longer driving through two sets of mountains. All of a sudden, you're on an open highway on top of things. So in the natural, valleys end. Then why not in the spiritual? Why not in our... Because they will end. We just have to understand the focus and what God wants us to do while in the valley. And so he says, will these bones live? Will they come back together? And he says... Only you know. And then the sovereign Lord said, look, I'm going to put breath into you and make you live again. I'm going to put flesh and muscles on you and cover you with skin. I will put breath into you. And this is what he had him speak. He said, speak this prophetic message to the dead areas, to the dead bones, to the dry bones. Speak prophetically. Speak life. Speak things that are positive. Speak. We'll get more into that. Sometimes we struggle in the valley because of what we say in the valley. We never leave the valley because of what we think in the valley and what we're speaking in the valley. Right? And then he goes on to verse 7 and says, "So I spoke this message, and just as he told me, suddenly as I spoke, there was a rattling noise across the valley. The bones of each body came together and attached themselves completely as complete skeletons." And then in verse 9 he says, "Speak a prophetic message to the winds, son of man. Speak a prophetic message and say, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Come, O breath from the four winds, breathe into these dead bodies so they may live again." Woo! Y'all, that gets me excited. Speak and call the presence of God. Speak and call the wind of God. Speak and call the Holy Spirit into those dead areas and declare life according to what the Word of God says. Woo! Y'all, it's easy to do once you start. It's easy to do once you start. You just got to start. You just got to start. So listen, when we're talking about a valley, I really truly believe that that valley is that place where we're going to grow. We're going to grow in the valley. We can grow in the valley. We can become strong in the valley. We can become spiritually in tune in the valley. We have just embraced the valley. We just have to embrace it. We have to embrace what's going on in the sense that God's with me. In the sense that all is going to be well. It looks terrible, but you know what, God? You're in charge. I'm taking my hands off this. See, it's in the valley. It's a place where we need to stop trying to do everything on our own strength and our own ability and just surrender. See, because I get in the valley and I'm trying to manipulate things. Try to manipulate things. Try to manhandle. I try to take the bull by the horns in the valley and try to wrestle it down and hogtie it. I have friends that actually can do that. Pretty freaky. That these little guys can take a rope and this big steer, get it to the ground, and whoo. See, but when it comes to the valley, we got to take our hands off and let God do it. Let God move in it. See, it's a place in the valley because of it's an opportunity we can overcome our fears and worries and anxieties. We can actually exchange our weakness. We can exchange our anger. We can exchange our bitterness. We can exchange the negativity. We can exchange the words of death and not life. We can exchange it for all those things which are good. We have to exchange it. You ever go to the money exchange places, right? If you're going to go on a trip somewhere, not lately, but you're going to go eventually, okay? Prophetically speaking, we're going on vacation. Prophetically speaking, we're going on vacation somewhere in this country other than Lakeview, amen? It's going to open back up, my friends. We just got to keep praying and believing. I'm going on vacation, brother. I'm going. Right? But I go to the money place and I physically have to go there and pull out all my singles and say, "Hi, can I have $4? In this amount of money, wherever I may be going, I have to physically, so I got to exchange. I got to go to God and say, God, here's what needs to be exchanged. And I got to give it to God. He's the exchanger. And that happens in the valley. I'm going to exchange in the valley. I'm going to exchange. Oh, it's not a place to quit. It's not a place to die. Do you know what happens in the valley? When I get in the valley, many things will happen, but I think one of the most important things is that in the valley, we're going to have an encounter. David went to Elah, into the valley of Elah, and what did he do? He encountered the giant. We're going to have encounters, but here's the deal. It's not always a negative encounter. See, when I'm in the valley, I'm not looking to encounter the negative. I'm looking to encounter God. The negative can't bring me victory. Only the Spirit of God can bring me victory. Only the presence of God, the strength of God, the Word of God, the Holy. I know the negative's there, and I'm going to encounter it. But before I encounter that, I want to encounter God. Because what God has for me, when I encounter the negative, when I encounter the battle, when I encounter the giant, gives me the ability to have victory over that. So in the valley, we're going to have encounters, good and bad. It's what we do with that encounter. See, if I encounter the negative, the bad, the giant, and I lay down, I lose. Listen, church, Christians and believers of Jesus Christ are not losers. We all need to realize that we're not weak, we're not feeble, we're not pushovers. We gotta get. Do you know what the valley is? The valley's the gym of the Holy Ghost. No, it's been quite a while since I've been to the gym, let me tell you. Pants are a little tighter. But you know what I did? I got a home gym now. I was talking to my brother last week. I got a home gym now. I've been on the treadmill. And oh, Lord, hell of mercy. Lord, give me breath to breathe. But see, in the valley, the valley is the gym of the Holy Spirit. It's where we're working out with the Spirit of God. It's where God's training and he's doing something in us to overcome what we're facing. It's an opportunity for growth, but we're going to have that encounter. And so what do we do in that encounter? How do we handle it? Because in the valley, we're going to be stretched. This is what happens. You're going to be stretched. We're all going to be stretched, right? We're in the valley. We're stretched. Well, let's be honest about it. It's going to be a stretching time. I'm going to date myself. Remember Stretch Armstrong? That amazing doll that back in the 80s was way too overpriced, that you can take his arms and your brother could stand in the living room and you can just put that over your shoulder and walk to the kitchen, right? Remember that? And he always stood this way whenever he came back to the thing. And he always had like a red Speedo on, I think, right? But you could stretch him all over. That's what happens in the valley. We get stretched all over. But like Stretch Armstrong, we won't break. We won't break with the stretching. The stretching in the valley, in the presence of God, because we're encountering him, we're working out with the Holy Ghost, it strengthens us. It helps us. Stretching is good. Stretching in the natural is good, right? You hear something crazy? Scott laughed at me. Pastor Scott laughed at me the other day. We were talking about Thanksgiving, and he's like, "How you doing?" I'm like, "Man, I pulled my do my back out." He's like, "How?" I'm like, "I'm putting my socks and shoes on." You know that if you like, right? But you know what helps? Stretching. Stretching's good. Stretching takes the pain away. Stretching gives you more flexibility. See, that's we need to understand that. And in the valley, we're going to be stretched, but also in the valley, we're going to be strengthened in those areas as we're being stretched. In the valley, we're going to experience growth. Do you ever notice in the valleys how beautiful the vegetation is in the natural? Green and plush and stuff. Well, in the spiritual and in the realm of the valleys that I'm talking about, we're going to grow. We're going to grow. We're going to come out of the valley a better person. We're going to come out a stronger person. We're going to come out, you know, 10 steps ahead of where we were when we went into the valley. We may have a couple scars. We may have a couple Band-Aids on, but we're going to be better for it. Because battle's not easy, but it's going to happen. And so what do I learn? What must I learn to celebrate, or what must I do in the valley? Well, celebrate this, that in the valley, God is with you. You don't go into a valley experience alone. You may choose to have God not be a part of it, but God is with you in the valley. You're not alone in the valley. We need to understand that. Why? Because the Bible says this, Psalm 23, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me." Amen? See, that's a clap on that one. That's a good one right there. I didn't make that up. God said that. He says, "Though you walk through this valley of death, this valley of discouragement, this valley of pain and suffering, you're not alone. I'm with you. And actually, while I'm with you, not only is my presence with you, I will guide you. I will help you walk through it. I will direct you through it. I will encourage you through it. I will say good game and slap you on the butt as you keep going forward in it." This is what God will do. Then he says, "You know what?" He got the football joke. And you know what else he says? He says, "In the valley too, I'm going to set a table up for you to eat at in the presence of your enemies, in the presence of your struggles. What table are we snacking at? Is it God's table? I said 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, we had two tables. What are we eating at? But I love this in the valley. He says, you're going to find rest and comfort, guidance and strength. Jesus says in Mark chapter 11, if you're tired and you're weary, who's tired and weary? Raise your hands. Don't lie to me. Raise your hands. Who's tired and weary? Okay, you know what Jesus says? Come to me. He says, if you come to me, I will give you rest. I will take care of your tiredness. I will take care of your weariness because my yoke is not heavy. It's not going to be a burden to you. Actually, when you yoke up with me, I will remove the burden from you and carry it with you and for you. That's what he says. So in the valley, I celebrate because God is with me. I love what Isaiah says this. He says, listen, he says, have you not known? Have you not heard? This is Isaiah 40, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, does not faint, nor is he weary. God himself is never weary, and he does not faint. He says this, he says, he gives power to the faint. Catch that? He gives power to the faint. Those who are struggling, he gives power in the valley. He gives power in the valley. He says, and to those who have no might, he increases our strength. Woo! Y'all got to get excited about that. Because in the natural, at like mile 2.5 in my basement, I'm like, Lord, this is so stupid. But I know I need it. I can't breathe. I'm gasping for air. I'm stepping off and sucking down water. I'm just done. But you know what? In the spiritual, in the realm of the valley that I'm talking about, when I feel that way, God says, oh, son, here, let me grab a hold of you and put more strength in you to keep you going. You got another mile in you, son. You got another mile in you, daughter. Woo! That's what he does. Because he's with us in the valley. In the valley, what I love about valleys, it's a place where we can exercise our gifts and our talents. We can exercise them. David goes to Elah, right? The Valley of Elah. Little David rolls up there with his slingshot. Little David's gifted. How do you know that? Because his job was to take care of sheep. It's a dirty job. It's a smelly job. It's a boring job. But while he was tending his sheep, he was also spending time with the Lord. That's why he knew who God was. And so all of a sudden, though, if he's tending sheep and a lion shows up and wants to eat a couple of the sheep, he doesn't want his father to get upset with them. So what does he do? He kills the lion. He kills the bear. He kills the wolves. He kills whatever comes at the... So he's training. He has a gift and talent in the natural, right? And then all of a sudden, here he is standing in the Valley of Elah looking at the giant Goliath, and he says, I got this. Saul's like, take my spear. He's like, why? I don't need that. I'm not trained in that. I'm not gifted in your spear. I'm not gifted in wearing your armor. I'm gifted in what God gave me while I was out in the field working for my daddy with his sheep. He says, I'm good with the slingshot. So he stands in front of the giant, and what does he do? He uses his gift. He takes the slingshot, and he kills the giant. See, in the valley, God will let you use your gifts, and God will encourage you to use your gifts, and God will help you grow your gifts in the valley. We need to understand that. But sometimes we get in the valley, and then we freeze. Because what we do is we start to say this, well, I don't feel worthy to use my gift right now. I don't see it to be really that important or vital right now. Or I don't even know if I have a gift, and here I am in the valley. Well, if God is with you, God will give you a gift. If God is with you, God will empower and enhance the gift. It's a matter of releasing the gift. What did Ezekiel do? Ezekiel was a prophet. God used him to speak prophetic words, right? Hey, dry bones. Come to life. Hey, wind of God, come blow. He used his gift. In the valley, God is with us. In the valley is a place, an opportunity to use our gifts to overcome the struggle, to overcome the battle. Knowing that while using the gift, the Holy Spirit is helping us to overcome that which is, you know, the battle that we're in. And the valley is a place of breakthrough. The valley is a place of breakthrough. How do you know? Well, how do I know? Because I give you two examples. Goliath. That battle was long, bloody, a lot of dead people laying around that valley. But all of a sudden, David shows up, kills the giant, right? And all of a sudden, breakthrough for the Israel is given, isn't it? The battle's over. Because once that little boy killed the giant, it changed the tide. It changed everything in the valley that day. Breakthrough came. When those dried out bones that had no skin, no muscle, no tendons, no flesh, no life, no nothing, when they were prophetically spoken into in the realm of God through that prophetic vision, they began to rattle, they began to shake, and they came to life. Breakthrough. See, what I love about that prophetic vision of Ezekiel, that was about restoration. That whole chapter there is about restoration and a return from captivity. Come on, somebody. You need to hear that today. It's about restoration and a release from captivity. Maybe you feel you're captive to something. You're being held to something. You just can't break what has a hold of you. Well, I declare prophetically today to you and into your life that that would be broken in the name of Jesus, because it's freedom and liberty, and the captivity is broken by the Spirit of God, by the wind of God. All right? Whether you're here or whether you're watching online, that's what that passage is about. That's what it's about. Because there's a breakthrough in the valley. So, in these next 10 minutes, what do I take home with me? Where do I go from here? What do we do while in the valley? Let me tell you what you're going to do. I'm not going to tell you what you're going to do. You're going to do what you want to do. You're an adult. Let me encourage you to do what I'm doing, what I'm applying to my life on a daily basis. While in the midst of this craziness of 2020, this will help you. Not because I read it, not because four other people told me about it, but because I'm applying it and I'm seeing it in my own life come to pass, and the Lord asked me to share it with you today. Application, when someone has application that's working, I want to listen to those people. I don't want to just listen to someone who knows nothing about something but writes a book about something, but they've never gone through it and wrote the book and it's a bestseller. Really? They never walked. No, that doesn't compute to me. So, what do we do moving forward? Well, the first thing is this. We're going to stop running from the giants, and we're going to stop running from all the craziness in the valley, and we're going to stop and we're going to turn to God. If you are in a valley, the first thing we must do is turn to God. We must turn to God. The answer to victory, the answer to breakthrough, the answer to the other end of the valley is found in God, in God alone. So I stop running and I turn to God, and then I face the giants head on, because I can't wish the giant away. David didn't go out in the field and say, "Oh, I wish Goliath would go home." He's still there. "Oh, I wish Goliath." No, he went out there and says, "Hey, listen, I serve God, the true God. And because of who he is, and he's the God of Israel, you're going to die on this field today." See, we have to face the giants, because the Bible says that nothing is impossible with God. Amen? The book of Luke. Nothing is impossible with God. So the giant that you face in the valley can be overcome because of who God is. Amen? Because nothing is impossible. Nothing is too big for God. And nothing is too small for God. We need to realize that. Sometimes we're like, "Well, I got this small thing going on, and I really don't want to take it to God because he's, you know, dealing with so many other people's big issues." If you have something, if you have a giant, big or small, it doesn't matter. Big or small, nothing is impossible for God to do. And God wants you to give it to him. God wants you to connect with him, because he's with you in the valley. We need to understand that. See, Isaiah says this. Isaiah 41, "Fear not, for I am with you. Don't be dismayed. I'm your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." Oh, he's there to help us. He's there to help us through this. What a great opportunity. What a great opportunity. Number two, write this down. What should we do in the valley? Learn to silence the noise around us and stay focused in on Jesus. Man, there's some noise around us, isn't there? I stopped watching the news. I can't do it anymore. I can't do it. I just can't do it. If you watch the news, that's okay. For me personally, I can't do it anymore because it was noise. You want to know why? Because if you spend 10 minutes with me, I'm an emotional person. I'm emotional. I'm driven by, and I would watch the news and I get frustrated and upset. And then I'd be like, go on these tangents. And then it just wasn't good. And so I have to silence the noise that's around me. You know what the Bible says? Colossians. Set your minds on the things. Well, hang on. You know when David went to the valley? He showed up, and you know what his brother said? What are you doing here? Why are you here? Oh, it's a pride thing. Go home. Go back to daddy. Go back to those smelly sheep in the fields. See, even his own family was saying, why are you here? Get out of here. You're a pain. You're causing issues. You're causing problems. So even David heard the voices. David heard the voices of Goliath's too big. He's too strong. He's going to kill us all. David heard the voices of people running in terror and fear. And yet David's like, nah, I don't hear any of that nonsense. I'm here for a purpose and a reason. Goliath, you die today, my friend. So he silenced them. The Bible says in Colossians that we should set our minds on things that are above and not on the earth. Come on now. We're not ignorant of what's going on around us, but what's going on around us does not take our full attention 24/7, where we forget about everything else that's around us and going on in the world. So what we do is we know it's there, we realize it's there, but I set my mind on things above, because I said last week about our faith, it's our faith that reaches into the unseen realm of the heavenlies, and it's our faith that releases, you know, God to do something and releases back into the heavenlies. So if I'm focused, my mind and my thoughts and my faith and my prayers in the unseen realm of the throne room of God, then all of a sudden God releases into the valley where I'm battling, in the valley where I'm warring, and begins to bring breakthrough. It's right there. The scripture says it. The scripture says, let your eyes look directly forward in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 25. Look forward and your gaze be straight before you. Sometimes in the valley, we're looking at everything else that's going on around us too. Well, what are they doing? Well, what's he doing? People ask me all the time about other churches. What's going on there? What's going on there? I don't know. Honestly, I don't really care. I pray for them. I pray God's blessing, and I pray salvation to their house. I pray growth numerically, financially. But what someone's doing down the street does not affect what this house does. Our eyes are straight forward on what? On the mission and vision that God gave this house, and how we're going to love people. We're going to love God. We're going to be releasers of the Holy Spirit. We're going to encourage one another. We're going to pray for one another. This is what we're focusing on. They can do what they got to do, but I got to do, and we have to do what God's called us to do here. And then the scripture says this. It says, whatever's admirable, whatever's pure, whatever's just, whatever's right, whatever's holy, whatever's righteous, focus and put your thoughts on them. That's Jesus. That's Jesus. That's not the battle in the valley. That's not the negative thoughts. That's not the negative words. That's Jesus. Because negative is not pure. Right? And so we focus in on that. So stop running. Turn to God. Face the giants. Listen and learn to silence the noise all around you and stay focused in on Christ. Number three is this. We must be like Ezekiel. We got to start speaking and prophesying into those areas. Do you know that with my words, I could speak death and cursings, or I could speak life and abundance? If you don't believe me, go to the book of James. There's a lot written about it. Because God knew that this little tongue in our mouth can cause devastation or can bring restoration. It's how we use it. It's what comes out of it. Right? And so we can speak blessings or cursings. We can speak life or death. And see, in the valley, I need to start prophesying and speaking life into those areas, into that battle, because it's an opportunity for growth. I feel tired, so God, oh God, I'm so tired. God, I just want to lay down and quit. No, God, I'm tired, but God, I know in you can bring strength. See, Ezekiel looked at all the dead bones, and God said, prophesy to them. speak life into them. And he did just that. We have to do that. We have to speak life. You can come up. We have to speak life into those areas. Do you know that it's really hard to do that sometimes? Right? It's super hard to do that. But we have to. We have to. A whole chapter in the New Testament about it. It means something. It means something. It's amazing. So I'm in the valley. I turn to God. I face the giant because I know God is with me. I silence everything around me. I realize that with God, everything is possible. I realize that he's there to strengthen me, guide me, give me comfort, give me what is needed to get through this valley. I silence the noise. Then I begin to speak prophetically. See, I got to get the word in me that I can get the word out of me. You can't speak prophetically those things you don't know. Did you know that? You know, I can't speak the word of God into situations if I don't know the word of God. Right? And the only way that it can come into me is by me putting it there. Now, God can give you a prophetic word here, but to stand on, to live on, I got to put it in. There's multiple ways you can put it in. If you're not a reader, then listen to it in your car or in your home. Listen to it on the Bible app. Listen to it on CD. Watch it on DVD. YouTube it. Google it. The Word of God, just listen. Get it in you. Study the Word of God. Get it in you. Because you got to speak it. You got to declare it. And then the last thing in the valley is this. As you're prophesying, as you're speaking life into those areas, will you please call the wind of God and the breath of God to come in? See, as he spoke to those bones, as they came together, they were there. But then he called the wind in, the breath of God, that brought the life. It brought the life. And so, oh, wind of God, man, this looks like a dead area. This looks like a bad battle. Oh, wind of God, blow from all four directions and consume this place. I went to school in Tulsa, Tornado Alley. Has anyone ever heard a tornado before or saw a tornado close? It's kind of a crazy thing. The sky gets pure black. Lightning comes across like fingers, but all of a sudden you hear this noise. It's loud, and it's the wind. And it could be a mile away, but you can hear the wind, and the closer you are. See, we got to call the wind of God to come in like that tornado into that area, into that valley. See, when the wind of God comes in, unlike a natural tornado, it's not going to tear up the valley and go out. When the wind of God comes into the valley, it's going to restore. It's going to fix. It's going to repair. It's going to encourage. It's going to heal. It's going to speak word. And do you see what I'm saying? It's going to lift you up. It's going to dust you up. When the wind of God comes in, call the wind of God in to those areas in your life. Call the wind of God into any deficiencies that we may have. Call the wind of God in. It's simple. Oh, wind of God, blow. Blow this morning over me, over my family, over my life, over my situation. Oh, wind of God, you know what's going on. I need you. Oh, Spirit of God, come. God, I turn to you. I turn to you, the light. I turn to you, the light. I turn to you. Oh, you see where I'm going? Valley isn't the place where we're taken out. We got to look at the valley as a place of opportunity. Valley is a place of growth. The valley is a place of breakthrough. So if you're in a valley, let's stand to our feet. If you're in a valley, I would ask you, come on up. Pastor Scott wants to share a word with you this morning.
This morning, God really put David on my heart. I can show you things, screenshots that I took as I was studying David, as I was praying this morning. And then when Pastor Tommy shared that he was talking on David, I didn't know. One of the things that you need to realize about David is he came with a slingshot. He came with into the valley with that gift. But did you notice something about the stones? Did he bring the stones with him? He didn't. They were in the river, in the stream that was in that valley. Sometimes we think that provision isn't where we're at when we're in this valley. When we look around, we don't think the provision's there. Your gift is there. The provision is there. Okay. The other thing that was interesting in this study this week too, and he just let me go with this, but he picked up 5 stones. Does that seem strange to you? Because he only needed one. He slung it and defeated him with one. But why did he pick up 5? Do you want to know why? If you research this, Goliath had brothers. How many more brothers did he have? 4. So not only was he prepared for the battle that faced him with the gift that he had, and in the middle of the valley was what he needed to sustain himself for that victory. But it wasn't just that moment in time. It was the victories, the things that he could face in the future. He was already prepared, that God had already prepared him for every battle through that valley. And I want to encourage you this morning, for I'm in a valley, that God has given you a gift inside of you. He has provided provision for you for the moment you see little victories. But it's not just about little victories. It's about the constant victory, because we are victorious in Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. So timely for that. So timely. Thank you, Jesus. So let me pray for you. I would ask you, but I believe that we all have been in a valley, or 2020 is just a valley. We've all experienced something. And so let me pray for you all, every one of us in here today. Father, I pray, Lord, in the midst of the valleys, which your children stand in, that we, Father, understand that there's divine opportunity. That, Father, we're not alone, but you're with us. And though the giant may roar, though the giant may have tantrums, though the giant may look scary and bring a wave of a different emotions, you're greater than the giant. You're greater than the giant. And the giant will not and cannot take us out. We are children of yours. We've been bought with a price. We are guarded and we are protected. Yes, we may walk through the valley. Yes, we may battle, but we know that you are at our side. And not only are at your side, even Pastor Scott said, you are giving us things for the future in the valley. So Father, I pray for those right now, that Father, that there'd be a great exchange. An exchange, an exchange. Struggles, fear, weakness, anxiety, loss of strength, loss of vision, loss of just excitement about life. There would be an exchange, and those would be exchanged for joy and peace, strength, happiness, comfort, direction, a sense of knowing all is well because we're with you, God. Father, I pray that in the valley we always stay focused in on you. We never allow the voices or the things that are around us to distract us from you. Father, I pray that we have the strength to use our gifts and our tools that you've given us. Father, I pray that the words that are in us, we speak words of life in the valley, and we never forget to call in the wind of God. The wind of God. We lean on you, Jesus. Father, we thank you for this divine moment in time. We thank you for the prophetic word that was shared, the word that was stirring in Pastor to reaffirm today's message to somebody here. Father, have your way. We love you. We honor you. We bless you. And thank you, God, for this message of hope today, for this message of hope that you're here with us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Why don't you give the Lord a hand clap? Amen. So, real quick, I want to just let you know, if you're not I say it every week, but I want to just make sure that if you're not receiving updates with what's happening, because things change daily, make sure you sign up for our texting church and for our email list. But I do ask this as a family. We've had some loss over the weekend. Donna Mecca's sister, Betty Lou, went home to be with the Lord yesterday. And also Joyce Wallum's son-in-law went home to be with the Lord yesterday. And so we want to pray for them. I want to encourage you to pray for them during the week, okay? That we lift their family up in prayer, that they know we're there for them in these difficult times. And so suddenly, home to be with the Lord. And so we want to lift them up in prayer. And so also, today is Mission Sunday. And the mission at this time of the year is going to be our angel tree. We have some families that have some needs in 2020 at the holiday season. Or hang on a second, the Christmas season. What was I thinking? The Christmas season. And so I would love it if you sensing God to make a donation to help us to help them at this time at Christmas. And so the next couple of weeks, we'll be receiving donations for the giving, our angel tree, to help our local families in our ministry, those who come to our church. This is who we're taking care of. And so if you're going to do that, mark it on your envelope, angel tree, and that's specifically set aside for that. And so let's take our tithes and offerings this morning and get you guys out of here for the rest of the day. It looks like it's going to be sunny. Got a Bills game today. We got time just to, you know, get our Christmas lights up and get them fixed if they're not working, whatever it may be. But thanks for being here. But let's pray. Father, thank you for today. Father, I pray for Don and I pray for Joyce. Father, such tragedy. God, I pray that your hand of comfort rests upon their homes, upon every person that's been affected by that loss, that sorrow would be turned to joy, crying would be turned to laughter. Father, help them this time, this moment, this day. Father, thank you for the opportunity to give, for such a blessing. It's an honor to know that you love us so much, that you bless us, then you give us an opportunity to bless others. And also to bring our tithe into the storehouse as worship. So, Father, today, bless it, multiply it. Bless everyone in this house financially. Let their finances grow. Let their finances grow this day, oh God. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. Hey, thanks for coming. I'll check the website. There's some great things happening. Have a wonderful day. God bless. If you need prayer, I'll be here to pray with you after service if you need prayer for anything.